Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you and looking forward to having this study with you. And the assurance of adoption is taking place is where we left off last time in our study of adoption. And that's what we're going to be going back into today and perhaps maybe even finishing this study out. I think we found out quite a bit about what our Lord says about adoption, and it's all good news. We're part of the Lord's family. We're sons of God. We've been adopted both compassionately, and we've been adopted legally according to the Lord's legalities. And what the Lord says needs to take place in order for him to accept us into his family. And we're glad that the Lord is so smart and has such wisdom that he figures all these things out. And I don't think it's laborious to him to be able to figure things like that out, but I think he's just that wise and just that compassionate that he would do that for us. And I'm glad to be part of the family of God. There's so much wickedness in this world today in these last days as we wait for the Lord's return and wait for him to come and get us. There's just so much that comes from every direction, and I understand, and I know you do too, that it's hard for the Christian. It's hard for a Christian to stay focused and stay loyal to the Word of God. There's so many darts that the enemy's throwing at you, and so many different avenues of wickedness that are coming in every direction and everywhere you look, and all the billboards and signs. Everything leads to worldliness and sin. And there's very little that reminds us of the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, and the things that are of good report, that are virtuous, and that have praise in them, according to what the Scriptures say that we're supposed to think about. But we're going to carry on, and we're going to keep on serving our Lord, and we're going to keep on being faithful to him. Our allegiance is to him because we love him. Our allegiance is to our Lord because we're devoted to him. And we know that there's no hope in putting the way the Lord said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because it's going to pass away. It's going to pass away. Our hope is in heaven. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. That's what our Lord said. Now, that's why it's so very important for us to believe the book, to believe God's word. Believe what it says, not what all these idiots out there are changing it around and changing this and changing that and just messing everything up and getting everything all confused. God's not the author of confusion, and he didn't give us his word to be confused by. He gave us his word to give us peace. And the Lord said he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Even the most major depressive disordered person out there with PTSD and ABC and QRS and all them different kind of things that the psychiatrists say everybody's got, when you got the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you're dealing with a whole different matter. You can have peace, and you can have a sound mind. Because it's spiritual. It's spiritual. And we have spiritual minds, you see. So let's get into our study today and talk some more about this matter of adoption. Just to recap just a little bit for us, we talked about the assurance of assurance that an adoption has taken place in our lives or anybody else's life. What does the Bible say? Well, we found out that the Holy Spirit's witness assures us of an adoption, that God the Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit right here personally within us that we're saved and that we belong to the Lord. And the Lord don't have any problem with you asking him if you're one of his sons, if you're saved, if you're in his family. He'll answer you right away. only thing you need to do is pay attention and listen to him. And the Spirit's leading assures us of adoption. The Lord not only comforts us, but he teaches us. He's our teacher. God the Holy Ghost teaches us. And the Lord is faithful to put teachers in our paths, human teachers and mentors, and he has in mind. And he specifically picked out my teachers. I wanted to go to college, and every time I seen one of my brothers pack up and commit and take his family and head off to a college, man, I felt like I was left behind. But that wasn't the Lord's plan for me. The Lord's plan for me was to be was to learn out in the field, and he gave me teachers and taught me in the field. And God the Holy Ghost taught me, and he taught me through these men and taught me different avenues of Christianity and different things of matters of Christianity through these men. Now, 3/4 of my mentors are already going to be with the Lord, and it's getting down to where and the Lord designs it like that, to where it gets down to where you rely on God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God alone for what you believe, and not just your mentors. You don't pick up the phone and call them no more. You get on your knees and talk to God the Holy Ghost and talk to the Lord about matters and things like that, and what's the truth about this thing, and search it out in the Scriptures and believe the book. Then's when we got peace. But the Spirit's leading assures us that we've been adopted. Not only that, but a changed life. A changed life. There's got to be something changing in your life, because God promises that he is busy changing us once we belong to him and we're in his family. He goes to changing us. And there's no exceptions. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that's not saying that everything in your life has changed over. You're still carrying around that flesh, but it's starting a process of changing. It's starting a process. Some things change right away. Maybe you just stop that old filthy mouth and that cussing and everything, because God the Holy Ghost is convicting you of it now, and you don't need to be talking like that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, a whole new set of words that we start using and stuff like that. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we got a good Savior that saved us, and we've been adopted into God's family now. And our Lord don't use language like that, and we don't want to either. So things start changing. See. And what else? Our Heavenly Father's chastening assures us on adoption. God takes his fathering of us very seriously. And he is a good father. And he don't sit back and let us run amok. He'll let you make your will up. You want to run from him. You want to go to bar rooms. You want to go out and whore around. You want to go do this and do that and do dope and all this kind of stuff. The Lord's going to deal with you about that. And he's going to try to talk you into getting back where you ought to be and straightening up and everything else. And if you don't want to do that, then he's going to put the pressure on you. And God knows right where to bash, right where to put the pressure and the strap on you. And if you still ain't going to behave, he'd probably just take you on home so that you don't embarrass him no more. And we have embarrassed our Lord, and that we don't shame him, and we don't trample on the Lord Jesus Christ's blood that he shed for us. It's just like stomping on his blood, and, you know, I mean, the sacrifice that he's done for us, if we don't keep that in mind and we start playing around with the world, pretty soon we're just going to be walking on the Lord's sacrifice. The Lord's sacrifice. But today we're going to get into, we see that. Today we're going to get into some blessings, the blessings of adoption. What are some blessings of being in God's family and being adopted into God's family? You know, there's a lot of blessings to children and to anybody that's been adopted within the human creatures. And, you know, a boy or a girl gets adopted, and he's got a brand new family. He's learning about brand new people, brand new mommy, brand new daddy, brand new brothers and sisters, brand new set of rules, brand new everything, brand new. And it's all exciting. And there are blessings that go along with that. Well, the same thing with the Lord. The same thing with the Lord, the blessings of adoption. We have blessings here, even being having to carry around this dead carcass on us. We have blessings here, being born again. And one of them is a blessing of being adopted is a new nature. A new nature. You know, that new nature that keeps battling with your old nature is real. And you should start believing that it's real. And quit denying it that that you don't have a split personality, because you do. You have a God-given personality now. God, the Holy Ghost, dwells in you, and He's teaching you the things of God and turning your personality and turning your character into the image of Christ. And you have another nature that's trying to hang on and trying to keep its head above water, and that's that flesh that's going back to the dust. And they both want their way, and they both will not ever get along, and you're right in the middle of it. But you're the one that makes the decisions. You're the one that makes the decisions, but we do have a new nature. A blessing of it is to have a new nature. Could you imagine not being able to think about the Lord lost and without God in the world, and not being able to think about God or know about God or have any blessings from God, and being walking around on this planet with no hope and without God? What a miserable, miserable way to live. And then develop cancer, or develop this, or develop that, or get a disease, or just whatever, die of old age, and just lay there and die, and don't know anything. Just die. But a blessing of a new nature. We can point back to a place to where we know there was a change, and that the Lord came into our life, and that the Lord saved us and adopted us, even though we didn't know anything about Christianity. But we can point back to a place to where we were born again, and and then from that point, in my case, 40-something years ago, from that point, I can look back and I can see different things that the Lord has done to change my nature. Or that His nature was being perfected in me. I can see where He's worked in my life to change my mind and change my thinking and change my heart. Excuse me. And you can too, if you're saved. If you're saved. And if you're born again, there's a blessing in that, a new nature. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. I mentioned that just a minute ago. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Now, that's a promise. All things are going to eventually be brand new, because the Lord's going to even give us a new body. But your mind is changing and becoming new. Your heart is changing and becoming new. And all these other things are passing away. The old things are passing away. And it's a process now. It's a process of getting rid of the old and putting on the new. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says. And whenever the Lord comes and finishes this matter and gives us our new body, we will be perfect, like the Lord intends for us to be. But until then, we've got to work. We've got to allow the Holy Ghost to perfect these changes in us, and then make sure that we don't turn around and go back where we shouldn't. You see, one way you can know, the Bible says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. You see, one way that you might not see what's in front of you and what the Lord's doing in front of you a lot of times in life. And then a lot of times it's like Paul said, looking through a glass, darkly. But a lot of times you can't see what's in front of you. You can't see where you're headed as far as a Christian, and you can't see, or focus or define what's going on in front of you. But one thing you can be sure of to make sure that you're in the right place and that you're in God's will is to turn around and look behind you and make sure that you're going away from evil. A lot of times you don't know what direction you're going in until you turn around, but you can always turn around and make sure the Bible says the highway of the upright, the way that you know you're going down the right highway and going in the right direction is turn around, look behind you, and make sure you're going away from the wrong direction. You see? You know you're going in the right direction if you're going away from the wrong direction. Listen to this. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The way I know I'm going in the right direction and down the highway of the upright is I turn around and I see that I'm going away from the wrong direction. That's good stuff, ain't it? Amen. Listen to this. A new nature. The blessings of adoption. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the children of God. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And that's not all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Did you get that? You got no business messing around in the night and messing around in the darkness of this world. You're not a child of darkness anymore. You're a child of light. You are children of the day. You've been adopted into God's family. And God is a God of light. He's not the God of darkness. Excuse me. What else? The blessings of adoption. Well, another blessing of adoption, not only is a new nature, but is a blessing of being adopted into God's family, is that we have access to God. Used to, you couldn't even talk to God because you didn't want to, and another thing, you didn't know who to talk to. You didn't know Him, and you didn't have the privilege of talking to Him because you wasn't in His family. And He didn't want to hear anything you had to say unless it had to do with repentance and had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have access to God now because we are in His family. We don't have to go through a priest or go through a blabbity, blabbity, blah, whatever else they got in the world that you got to go through now. The stinking totem pole or whatever they got in this world pretending that you got to go through to get to God, and they don't even know who God is. We don't have to do that. We're part of God's family. We're in the family. We don't have to make appointments with the Lord anymore. We just go right to Him. Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this. "And that ye might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby," you know, the enmity that was between you and God, "and came and preached peace," the Lord Jesus Christ did all this for us, "and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him," through Jesus Christ our Lord, "for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." By one Spirit. And you know who that Spirit is. That's God the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. So you can talk to the Father anytime you please. You have access to Him. Isn't that wonderful? You shouldn't be feeling. I mean, sometimes I heard a thing one time says, "I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I'm alone. And I believe in God even when He's silent." So whether God answers you or not, you still have access to Him for Him to listen to you. You know, a father doesn't always answer the things that he's listening to by his children. A lot of times there's nothing vocal about it. The Lord does answer us But it's not, how you want to put it, it's not orthodox, not regimented. It's not, okay, God, I've asked you 10 things and you've only answered 7. You know, it's craziness like that. It's personal. It's personal. He's daddy. He's daddy. I mean, the Lord has us on his mind, whether he's talking to us or not. He thinks about us. You know, we're so blessed to be in the Lord's family. If it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, we would have absolutely no way back to God. Unless, of course, you've never broken God's law. That's the only way you could get to God, is that you've never broken his law. But he made a way. And the way is, John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord did that for us. And he is there for us. And any of y'all that are born again, you're studying with us, and you are part of the bride, you're part of the family of God, and we're brothers and sisters, then you came through Jesus. Now, we have complete access to our Father, and we can approach him at any time about anything in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That's not all. What else? What else is a blessing of being in God's family and being adopted? That's our subject, adoption. A blessing of being adopted is our Father's love. Our Father's love. We don't have a father that just adopts us and then puts servants out to serve us and to take care of us and feed us and make sure we're burped and all that kind of stuff. Our Father takes his fathering personally to us. God, our Heavenly Father, listen, if you know anything about the Lord, which I'm sure you do, then you know that he has personally shown you that he knows you one way or another in some kind of circumstance or some kind of answer or some kind of question or some kind of situation. The Lord has shown you personally that he knows you personally. And maybe through a blessing, maybe through a whooping, maybe through whatever it might have been. But you know that the Lord is your Father and that you know him. And you know that he loves you. The Lord has done some things for me that I on purpose think about, on purpose, and keep in my mind and keep them fresh in my mind so that I don't never forget that he did that for me. And every time I think of him doing that, I have to think about it often because this world, if you ain't careful and you get enough of this world around you and talking to you and mumbling to you and putting stupid stuff in your mind and things like that, you'll fade away from what God's done for you and you'll forget. Or let me put it this way, you won't forget, but you won't remember on purpose as much as you should. You see, what the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, we know what he did and we remember him by taking communion, and we remember his death until he comes. That's why the Lord gave that to us, was so that we could, he didn't give it to us for himself, he gave it to us for us, so that we could remember his shed blood, remember his broken body, and remember his death until he come. The Lord knows how we are, but having our Heavenly Father, there's things that the Lord has done to show his love to you personally, and you should remember them on purpose. That'll keep his love fresh with you. And you know that nobody can lie to you about it because nobody else was involved in it. It was just you and the Lord. And the Lord showed you his love personally as a father to you. And you should remember that and go back to it, because it'll keep you in the place that you need to be as far as loving your father back and being devoted to him. You see, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. All right. Wait a minute. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I just messed up. 1 John 3:1, we're talking about the Father's love, remember? Listen to this verse. 1 John 3:1, yeah, I had the verse right, but I got the scripture wrong. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Amen? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think about that. That God has adopted us, and you are indeed a son of God. Indeed, you've been adopted. Did you get that? You've got to believe that. That's what the book says. And it makes sense. And it brings comfort to our heart, and it explains everything that's happening with us as far as walking with the Lord down here in these bodies, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about God's Word is perfect, and it perfectly blends together, unless you're one of these people that manipulates God's Word and changes it all around and confuses it. God's Word is not confusing. Just accept it as it is, as a five-year-old, as a child's faith, the Bible says. Jesus said, unless you come to him with childlike faith. He's talking about a child being able to understand these things. You ask a child about these things, and the child's got enough faith where he just believes it. He don't question it and go asking this, well, what's this say in the Greek? Child ain't never asked nothing, no question about no. Why ain't you people out there teaching this Greek and Hebrew and stuff, teaching all these kids Greek and Hebrew? And if it's so important, why ain't you teaching them in the elementary schools Greek and Hebrew if they need it so bad? Because you're a bunch of dummies is what you are, and you're messing around with God's Word, and you're going to pay for it. You better quit it. Anyway, the Father's love, God's love. We know God loves us, and we're going to remember that, because we have God's, we have personal. Listen, I ain't gotta get nobody's permission to say that God loves me. He showed me personally without anybody else's advice, anybody else's recommendation, anybody else's approval. He showed me he loves me. He's done some things for me that are so special that he did not have to do for me, and I didn't deserve it, and I was at the very worst I ever been in my life, but he done some things for me that are incredible. If he hadn't have done some of these things for me, the things in my life would have destroyed me. But he could have let that happen and let me destroy myself, but he salvaged my heart and done some things for me to help me to get through the rest of my life. I mean, I tell you about them sometimes. I mean, it's just tremendous. And the Lord's done some things for you like that, and is going to, and has, and wants to. He's a good Father, and he loves us. And you are a son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You got to quit thinking that the world likes you and that the world wants to pal around with you. The world hates Jesus Christ, and it hates you because you're affiliated with Jesus Christ. And how is it that you don't know that you're a son of God, but the world knows you're a son of God? A blessing of being adopted into God's family is God's love, is the Father's love. And if you told the truth, you know that's true. All right, another one. A blessing of being adopted in God's family is being helped in our prayer. Eventually, you're going to end up talking to the Lord. As much as you let the devil hold, and I'm speaking from experience, as much as you let the devil keep you from praying, and the devil does that literally. He'll keep you from praying. He'll throw things in your life and interruptions, knocks on the door, all kinds of mess. You better believe that, because it's true. He does all these things to keep you from talking to the Lord. But eventually, you're going to learn how to talk to the Lord. You can't go without talking with your Heavenly Father. And you're going to learn how to do it. And the Lord's going to teach you. And you're going to spend more time in prayer. And you're going to appreciate it. And you're going to love it. And you're going to, and it's not, you're not going to believe that it's wasted time, even though the devil's right there banging in your ear telling you that he didn't listen to you. He didn't do this. Blah, 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 blah. But you're going to have personal conversation with your Heavenly Father if you aren't already. But don't let it, when you walk away from prayer, don't let it discourage you that you and listen to the devil, because he's going to tell you every time and try to convince you that you didn't kneel right, you didn't do this right, you didn't say the words right, you didn't say in Jesus' name, you didn't say this, you didn't say blah, 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 blah. But the Lord does hear your prayer. The Bible says he does, that he hears our prayers. But help in prayer. God the Holy Ghost is within us, and he helps us with our prayers and helps us about what we should and can talk about with the Lord. And the more you talk with the Lord, the more you respect him, and your faith is increased, and you believe more. And you can get through the rest of your day because you've talked with the Lord. No matter how many doubts the devil throws at you and all this battle that we have to do, you can still get through the rest of your day and have more peace in your heart and more peace in your walk, because you've talked with the Lord. Yeah. Listen to Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And the Lord's talking to the Jews here, and he's making example to the Jews here. But this still applies to us, because there's people that do this all the time, and there's all kinds of these what do you want to call them, Christians, or people in Christendom, put it that way. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Oh, look at brother such and such over there praying in the words that he's using. He is such a prayer. Oh, he's so close to God. I wish I was like that kind of stuff. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." You see, when they talk to God, they're not really talking to the Lord from their heart. They're talking to him from their mouth. When you talk to the Lord, speak to him from your heart. Talk to the Lord from your heart. The Lord already knows what you're thinking before you ask. But speak to him from your heart. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." The Lord says they have their reward because they're getting the praise of men. Men are thinking that they're so holy and la 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 la. "But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth," did you get that? "Which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." You see, that ought to show you something special about your Heavenly Father when it comes to prayer to begin with, because he wants you in private talking to him. He wants you to be in such a place to where you can't be a hypocrite to talk to him. He wants you to put yourself in a position to where when you talk to him, you have made provision not only in the place that you are, and the interruptions. I mean, you're going to learn that as you pray, that you prepare for the enemy's attack. I mean, you know, you're going to learn the devil's devices and what he tries when you go to prayer or you start going to prayer, you're going to learn how to deal with him and the things that he throws at you to try to keep you from praying, and keep you from praying honestly, and keeping you from praying from the heart to the Lord. But the Lord has such a good Father to us that he wants you to pray in secret to him, because then there's no other excuses. You have gone to talk to him. You see? And that gives you peace in your heart and confidence in your heart, because the devil can't give you no other excuses or try to put lies in your mind. You've gone to talk to the Lord, and you've made provision for it to be so. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret. And when thy Father seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So the Lord is watching how we prepare to go talk to him. I mean, don't you think it very special that somebody goes out of their way, whatever way it might be, that they can get you alone to talk to you? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. John chapter 16, verse 24, the Bible says, "Hitherto have ye asked me nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. We have help in prayer. The Lord helps us. He teaches us how to talk to the Lord and how to mean it. And it helps our hearts. And we like it when our hearts are pure and our hearts are honest and sincere. And the Lord warns us and says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And we know that because we can't completely understand it and put it down and write it down how all this stuff goes about, but we know it's going on. Every time I go to pray, my heart tries to take me out in left field somewhere, and some of the stupidest things pop in my mind. Some of the filthiest things pop in my mind. I don't know if the devil's over my shoulder saying these things, or I'm sure he is sometimes, but some things coming out of my heart. The filth that's being purged out of my heart that's coming forth, you know, and we just don't know. But the Lord tells us to keep our hearts. And one way to keep our heart is to be on purpose, sincere with the Lord, and speak to him from our hearts when we're talking to him. But help in prayer. Help in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You don't have to take a number to talk to God. It says, come boldly. The Lord's not going to reprimand you for coming to talking to him, unless you're coming to him fake and trying to manipulate him. But the scriptures told us right there that it's okay. You can go and talk with the Lord anytime you want to. Let us therefore come boldly. I mean, when you got children and say you're somebody that has a business or something like that, and you have an office, and you're in your office, and there are people in your office. A secretary has an office next to yours, and yours is the farthest inside, and then the secretary's, and then there's a room to walk in to present yourself to the secretary and stuff like that. You don't have to go through the secretary and ask permission and get the secretary to go back and announce you and see if it's okay and all this kind of stuff. Little kids, whenever they go to see their father in his wherever he's at, they just run right past the secretary and pounce right into the door and go in there and jump in their daddy's lap. Boldly. I don't care who's looking or what people think. That's my daddy. Same way with the Lord, and I think that's the way he's putting it here. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The blessing of being adopted is help in prayer. 1 John chapter 5 And verse 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." If you pray to your Heavenly Father and you ask him, according to what the Scriptures say right now that we're reading, and you ask him anything, and you know that it's according to his will, and that's what we should search. A lot of times when we talk to the Lord, we don't know whether it's according to his will. I mean, a lot of times. And that's one of the things that the devil really tries to bat my brains out with. Sometimes I just don't know what God thinks about it or what God wants, but I address him about it. And you should too, but if we ask anything, the Scripture says, according to his will, that whatever we think that would be God's will in this matter, if we ask him according to his will, he hears us. And that's good enough, just the matter that he hears us, isn't it? But not only that, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. He hears us, and he not only hears us, but he hears our requests and our petitions. And he considers them. That's what the Bible says. So we believe it, right? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. That's not all. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care." How much? All of it. "Casting all your care upon him." Why? "For he careth for you." Man, that takes me a long, long way, them five words, "For he careth for you." You ought to make that, you ought to put that in your brain and keep it in your heart, "For he careth for you." "For he careth for you." That's all I need to know, is that God cares about me, that he careth for me. And you too, right? That's why we're doing this, because we know God cares for us, and we honor him and we love him and we want to study his word and find out what his mind is and what he thinks about things and get us some strength where we can take on tomorrow. And wait for him and be available to him so we can do things for him and win people to the Lord. And wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to say, "Come up hither." And off we go. And that could be any second. Any second. All right, a blessing of being adopted is help in prayer. And there's another one. Another blessing of being adopted is spiritual unity. That's exactly what we're having right this very second, is that we're studying our God's word, and fellowshipping in unity and in spirit. The Bible says this in John chapter 17 and verse 11 and then 21 through 23. It says, "And now this is Paul. Or excuse me, this it says, "And now I am no more in the world," this is the Lord, "and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." This is where the John 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. This is where the Lord goes to prayer to his Father, and he prays for things that are important to him, and he prays for us. You want to see where the Lord Jesus Christ prays for you? Go to John 17. "And now I am no more in the world, but these," talking about the apostles and the disciples that were with him, "but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How many times did the Lord say that? That they may be one. That they may be one. That they may be made perfect in one. Unity. Spiritual unity. And you see, when unity in this last days, and I ain't going to get real far off in it, but some of the other studies, like the one in the ABC's Life, that's got some stuff in it. But a lot of things to where this Laodicean, the church, is apostatizing in the last days and going away from the things and the unity of the Lord. And they got a false unity. And you got the only thing that tells the difference is what saith the Lord, what God's word says. And that's what keeps you in the right kind of unity. Just to be honest, and I'm not against, and the Lord knows my heart, and I love Christian fellowship, but I love true, honest, heart, spiritual Christian fellowship that is devoted to giving glory to the Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ, and honors God's word above His name. Yeah. And doesn't put up with all this hocus-pocus, theatrical, Christian put-on. It's true spiritual unity. And you know when you're talking to a Christian that's walking with the Lord. You know. And you know when, and you can have unity with that. But you have to be careful. The Lord tells us to separate even from brothers that are not walking upright. And there's a lot of that nowadays. And I'm not encouraging you to go looking for it. You're going to see it. And you're going to understand it. And the Holy Ghost is going to show it to you. And He's going to protect you from it. You just have to listen to Him. But on the other side, the blessing of being adopted is spiritual unity. And if you got a good church that is walking right and honoring God's word, and you got a pastor that is leading that flock, and he's taking care of that flock, and he's suffering for that flock, and you see that, and you know that God the Holy Ghost has the preeminence there, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up, and that there's spiritual unity there, you do all you can to be there for it and to be in that unity. But if they're not preaching the word of God, and they don't honor the word of God, and they're a bunch of there's a bunch of theatrical devil worship, a bunch of blobbity blabbity blab, then you be careful, because it'll rob you of your spirituality and rob your, and it'll take your Bible away from you, and it'll get you discouraged and get you not believing in the Lord anymore, not believing the things that God has taught you, and you just be all confused and not worth a dime for the Lord. But spiritual unity. John chapter 17, and we was reading that, and there's another one in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to this. The blessing of being adopted is spiritual unity. Now, see, when the Lord comes and gets us, all these people that are walking, all our brothers and sisters that are not walking upright, and they're loving the world more than they love God, and loving the things of the world, and they're existing for the belly and things like that, and just the way that let the world suck them in, and takes the glory from the Father and takes their worship and their unity away from them, and this, that, and the other. But all of them are going to go to heaven. That ain't got nothing to do with that. But they're giving up a whole bunch of rewards at the throne, at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord's going to check them for how many Christians they've gotten out of fellowship and led down the wrong path and things like that. And I'm not going to be part of that. If I was going to be in the world and I was going to be, if I was going to, I wouldn't be a fake Christian. I ain't never liked being a fake Christian or trying to be a Christian. If I was going to walk away from the Lord, I walked away from him. I was drunk. I was a dope head. I was a Christian. I was born again. I was in God's family. But, I mean, when I walked away from the Lord, I went and got in every bit of the dirt I could get in. I didn't try to be no Christian and drink and Christian and smoke dope and Christian and shoot dope and a Christian and cuss and a Christian and this. I tried to hide that I was a Christian. I don't get it. I don't get it. But anyway, but not anymore. Not anymore. Not me. Not me. I love the Lord, and he's done some wonderful, kind things for me, and I'm not going to forget him this time. I'm going to give him a piece of my life that's straight all the way through that I can hand to him and say, this part of my life was for you, Lord. And so much of my life that has not been for him. I'm going to let a piece of it be for him, unbroken and untarnished, and you should do the same. Not because of me, but because of you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 through 22 says, For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Talking about spiritual unity. Spiritual unity is so special and so wonderful. If you've got a church, we are the church, but if you got an assembly, and you, it don't matter if it's 5 or 4 or 400, but if you got an assembly that's got spiritual unity according to the Word of God and is minding the Holy Ghost and fearing God and fearing the Word of God and respecting God's Word, you got something. You got something, because there's a lot of Christians out there that are searching for it, that are yearning and longing for spiritual fellowship and unity and having to live alone out there because there's so many fakes now. And that's the truth. What else? We're talking about adoption. Adoption, all right, is one blessing of adoption, spiritual unity. All right, now, one other here is our glorious inheritance. A blessing of being adopted into God's family is that you got something coming. A glorious inheritance. You are heirs with Christ. You're heirs. You are heirs of God, and the Lord is setting aside some things for you. And that's why I'm saying that's another reason why it's so very important for you to live for the Lord and to give him a piece of your life that's disciplined and suffering for me. You're appointed to suffer for the Lord. The Lord suffered. You're going to suffer. You don't go around looking for suffering. It'll come to you when you start living for him. I mean, really living for him. And devoted to him, and pulling out of this world, and just being in the body is the only part the only reason you're here is because you're stuck in that body right now. And in your mind and in your heart, you're with the Lord. And if you got an assembly that you can be in spiritual unity with the brethren, you got something. And you got fellowship. But if you're alone, then it's just you and the Lord. And a lot of times the Lord will pull you aside and teach you how to just be with him. A lot of times that'll happen. It's happened with me. And I'm glad that he does it. But it's just something that I do miss fellowship with my brothers and sisters, don't you? And I'm glad that we're able to get here and do this. All right, a blessing of being adopted. It's a glorious inheritance. What's the scripture say? Colossians chapter 3, listen to this. In verse 22 and 23 and 24, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You're going to get an inheritance from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. But this inheritance is not going to rust, and it's not going to be moth-eaten. It's going to last for eternity, and it's going to be brand new to you, and it's not going to wear out. And you're not going to become bored with it, and you're not going to, it's going to be something from the Lord that's going to be eternal for you. You know how you get, even when you get an inheritance and you get a gift down here, and the first part of it's fresh and it's all wonderful and blah, 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 and all that, and then later on it just kind of wears away. It's not special anymore. That's not going to happen with the Lord's inheritance. The Lord's inheritance is going to be something that's going to be with you for eternity. It's going to be a true inheritance that's going to keep its freshness, and it's going to keep its excitement. It's going to keep its special part of it, that it's a gift from the Lord, and all that kind of stuff, you know? The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's the Lord Jesus Christ telling us that. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Man, you ought to cling and hold on to that and just grab that and hug that and hang on to that. Jesus has promised us that he's coming to get us. And not only coming to get us, but that he's preparing a place specifically for you. That's what it says. I believe it, don't you? You should. A glorious inheritance. And what better inheritance could it be that the Son of God has put it together for us? That God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has prepared it for us personally. I don't know how. I don't know what way he's going to do it, or what he's doing. Or he was a carpenter when he was down here. All right. So Romans chapter 8, verse 16, listen to this. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him." That's what I was talking about the suffering. That's where you get the rewards, is that you suffer with him. And it ain't suffering that you go around looking for suffering or challenge something to so you can suffer. It's that when the Lord puts it on you, and the Lord lets and you start having battles and start living for the Lord, all this stuff's going to come, and it'll be suffering that you and the Lord are fighting together. It won't be suffering that you've brought into your own life. It'll be suffering that that's going to make you more righteous and come out more holy like the Lord. What was I reading? There it is. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Glorified together. And 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Inherit a blessing. A glorious inheritance. What are the blessings of being adopted? Spiritual unity. Help in prayer. Our Father's love. Access to God. A new nature. These are all the things that we have mostly right now. Well, we have all of them right now. Some of them we just don't have present with us. We got to leave here to go get it or to receive it, a glorious inheritance. All right, one other thing we want to talk about is unsuccessful about adoption. I mean, unsuccessful and denied adoptions. What? Yeah. unsuccessful and denied adoptions. You mean there's some adoptions that don't work with the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, there are. Well, what do you mean, Brother Thurman? Well, unsuccessful and denied adoptions. Why? Well, here's one reason why. Because the adoptee does not want to meet the criteria for adoption. People try to get to heaven and get into God's family in thousands and thousands of different kinds of ways on this world. And they're never going to make it into His family. There's a lot of people that think that they are in God's family, and they're not according to the Scriptures. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There are there are so many people on this planet that think, and that have been on this planet, that are in hell right now because they imagined themselves being in God's family by having a religion of their own choice. And it ain't going to work, ever. God's going to deny that adoption because He don't adopt people like that. He only adopts people that come through the Lord Jesus Christ into His family. Listen to this, Romans 10, chapter 3 and 4. The Bible says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And somebody comes up and asks you how you get into heaven, everybody ought to, how is your righteousness going to meet God's approval? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I have no righteousness. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't want to get it. But I'm getting what the Lord Jesus Christ has given me through His righteousness by putting my faith and trust in His sacrifice for my sins. Did you get that? But now, if I want to go about my own, establish my own righteousness, then I'd be good, and I do good works, and I help people out, and I do this, and I do that, and blah, 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 which don't mean diddly squat to the Father. You don't get in the family that way. And God's not going to adopt you. And you're not going through all the legalities. God cannot properly take you through all the legalities of His holiness and His righteousness and get you into His family by the way that you're trying to do it. You have to go His way or no way. That's it. That's what the Scripture says. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There are some that claim themselves to be sheep, but God says they're not. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But there's a lot of people that are not following Jesus, and they don't hear His voice, and they don't respect His word, and they're not following Him. But yet they claim that they're in God's family. They have not been adopted. That's not what the Bible said. That's what the Bible says, is that they've not been adopted. It's unsuccessful. Wrong way to go. You're going down the wrong path. You better get the right one. And the Lord denies it. And there's going to be a lot of that at the white throne judgment. But Lord, look at all this, what I did. Cast him into the lake of fire. That's what the Scripture says. We're telling you, this is not a very good thing concerning adoption. Every bit of our study on adoption has been wonderful up to this point. But there are going to be lots and lots and lots of folks that are not going to be in God's family, that have been deceived, that have deceived themselves, that have lied and lived a lie, and just all kinds of reasons, but were never adopted. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11 through 14. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And the wedding garment represents righteousness. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou into hither having not a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and feet and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not choose people to be in his family. He calls you, but if you don't come his way, he's not going to choose you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Only the ones that come God's way are chosen to be in his family and adopted. That's it. What else? John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9 says, And then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Any way that says you can get into the Father's family and you can get into the sheepfold by this and by that, Jesus said they're thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It don't get no simpler than that. What else? Well, unsuccessful and denied adoptions, why? Well, because the adoptee does not want to meet the criteria of the adoption and come God's way. All right, what else? Because the adoptee will not believe or ask to be adopted. You say, ask? Well, let's see if that's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 14. Listen to what the scripture says. And this is Pauline gospel of the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus Christ set up and came for and died for. It's the gospel of the grace of God in this dispensation before the Lord comes to get us. Here's what he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hebrews 11:16 says, But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Adoption. Isn't that neat? Our Lord done that for us. And we're in his family. And we don't have to worry about things anymore. We just need to be busy about his business and being faithful to him and the best that we can do. And what is that? Be a light for the Lord and be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us of any man that asks us about how come we know we're going to heaven and how come we know this Savior who is Jesus, and that we just do everything that we can for him. And to get people into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. And get them born again. That's it. That's it. And wait on the Lord's return. And wait. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them, that's us, a city. Amen. All right. Well, there's our study of adoption. And we got lots and lots more. But that's something that you need to know as a Christian. As a child that's walking with the Lord, you need to know that. Did you know these things about adoption, that you're adopted? Yes, you are. And it's very important to the Lord. And it makes a difference whether you're adopted or not. Because if you're not adopted, you're not the Lord's. And if you're not the Lord's, you're His enemy. And if you're His enemy, He's going to punish you in the lake of fire. That's it. That's Scripture. That's what the Bible says. If you're listening to this and you're not born again, or you don't know whether you're born again, or you're not sure, you need to bow your head, get your Bible out, and look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 14 that I just read. And you need to ask, bow your head and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you believe that He is the Son of God and that He came into the world and that He died for your sins and that you want to accept Him as your Savior and you want Him to save you. And ask Him, and He will. Okay? All right. I hope you do that. That's as simple as it gets, right there. The Lord made it very simple. Well, the Lord bless you, brothers and sisters. It's been a good study. We're going to start a brand new one after this, and I hope that you'll stay and just keep on studying and just enjoy God's Word. And we will. Okay? Adoption. Very important. We're children of God, and we're in God's family. And we can't get out and don't want to get out. And God ain't going to throw us out. We're His children, sons of God. Praise His wonderful name. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.